More now from The Last Year in the Life of the Beatles, 1969.
July 23rd. Paul, who had each day been purposefully trying to shred his vocal cords a bit to suit his song, Oh Darling, records the final take that will be issued on Abbey Road. Also on July 23rd, the band does 7 takes of a track they called Ending at the time.
This is music writer Michael Gilmore. Abbey Road is sort of the Beatles' miracle in some ways. They knew on some level that all this was coming apart. Lennon hadn't announced yet that he was going to leave the group, but the tensions had grown too high. They'd had raging fights about the management question of Alan Klein. And yet they also had all these songs that they had worked on during the Let It Be sessions that they had not recorded, had not developed further. And they knew that these songs could best be accomplished with each other. They did have this innate understanding of what they brought to each other in the music, even if they didn't necessarily like the music of the other person. They knew they could serve each other's music well, and they knew that they could serve the Beatles well. So though there were a lot of problems during Abbey Road, much more than is widely acknowledged, it was hardly the peaceful period of time and work that the myth has it to be. It is a work of true transcendence. These men had to transcend themselves. They had to transcend the fate that they knew was coming. They had to recognize in each other the qualities that had made them proud to make music together. And that is a large part of what comes across in Abbey Road.
July 30th, a busy day in the studios. The Beatles overdub guitars to Come Together. They add percussion, guitar, and vocals to Polythene Pam, and she came in through the bathroom window. They add new vocals to You Never Give Me Your Money. New vocals also for Golden Slumbers.
Golden Slumbers, fill your eyes. Smiles awake you when you rise. Sleep, pretty darling, do not cry. And I will sing a lullaby.
And they begin the work on assembling what all would later know as the Side 2 medley.
But I would also say, even though I give Lennon credit for the 2 standalone songs that were so great on the album, Come Together and She's So Heavy, I would also say that it was Paul McCartney's triumph in the end. It was his vision for that suite. And I think in that suite, in a couple of very poignant and powerful places, Paul McCartney is talking to John Lennon and to the other Beatles about their fate, about what they are leaving behind, and what they will have to live with. You're going to have to carry that weight for a long time. He later said that he meant that. He meant that the burden of this, the accomplishment and the guilt of how this ends is something that we will all have to live with.
On August the 4th, the Beatles do the second and third overlays of the harmonies on John Lennon's Because.
Because the sky is blue, it makes me cry. Because the sky is blue.
August 8th, at 10 in the morning, the Beatles gather with photographer Ian McMillan out front of EMI Studios. They cross the street in the pedestrian walkway several times, while McMillan, standing on a stepladder, clicks several shots over the course of 10 minutes. One would go on the cover of the Abbey Road album.
It's all right.
August the 14th, orchestral tracks are recorded for Golden Slumbers, The End, Something, and Here Comes the Sun.
Here comes the sun, it's all right, it's all right.
August 15th, in the U.S., the Woodstock Music Festival begins.
This is the largest group of people ever assembled in one place. But I think you people have proven something to the world, that 500,000 kids can get together and have 3 days of fun and music, and have nothing but fun and music.
Freedom, 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 freedom.
August 18th, Paul McCartney records the piano for the last moments of The End. And on August the 22nd, the four Beatles, Paul McCartney, John Lennon, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr, are photographed together for the last time and go their separate ways. The four would never come together to record again.
And in the end, the love you take is equal to the love.
On September the 11th, 1969, John Lennon is the first Beatle to return to Abbey Road Studios to record his own record, Cold Turkey.
Temperature's rising, fever is high, can't see no future, can't see no sky, my feet are so heavy.
If I could be a fisherman, I would. You know, if I had the capabilities of being something other than I am, I would. It's no fun being an artist, you know? It isn't, it's torture. I resent being an artist. You know, I resent performing for f***ing idiots who don't know anything. They live vicariously through me and other artists. You know, I'd sooner be in the audience, really, but I'm not capable of it. You know, one of my big things is I wish I was a fisherman. I know it sounds silly, and I'd sooner be rich than poor and all the rest of that. But the pain. I wish I was, ignorance is bliss or something, you know. If you don't know, man, there's no pain. Oh, but probably there is, but that's how, you know, that's how I express it.
When you think about John Lennon during this period of time, one thing that was happening, I think, is that he was accessing aspects of his own psyche for the first time. And obviously later in songs like Mother and the kind of primal scream work he was doing in the Plastic Ono Band, you would really see that come out. But in a way, there's rawness, the depth of pain that's in a song like that, I think says a lot about what John was going through and where he was trying to go. The other thing about this period of time that's often forgotten as a big influence on artists is kind of psychotherapy, Reichian therapy, primal scream therapy. People weren't only getting into meditation and taking LSD. They were exploring the mind in many different ways. And I think that's a key element to what John was interested in.
On September the 12th, 1969, the Rolling Stones release an LP called Through the Past Darkly. John Lennon and Paul McCartney sang backup on the Stones' We Love You. September the 13th, John Lennon, Yoko Ono, Alan White, Eric Clapton, and Klaus Voormann perform at the Toronto Peace Festival.
The best things in life are free, but you can give it to the birds and bees. I want more. That's what I want.
And, you know, the story of the Beatles' demise, the fact that it was over personal differences and artistic differences, but it was in some ways at the heart over money.
That's what I want.
Involved lawyers, involved shady characters. I think that's painful for a lot of Beatles fans because, you know, we don't want to think of the Beatles as being sullied by that stuff. But of course, every rock band is also a corporation, and that's true about the Beatles almost more than any other band. So I think the way in which the Beatles fell apart was particularly hard for Beatles fans to deal with because it seems so counter to what the era was representing in terms of people's values and how we were going to put those commercial concerns aside and make art and live our vision. And yet, in the end, it was a matter of who was managing the Beatles' money that may have done them in.
That's what I want. That's what I want. Yeah. That's what I want. Hey, I give you money. Whole lot of money. Lots of money. Give me money.
September the 26th, Abbey Road is released in Britain.
Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but she doesn't have a lot to say. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but she changes from day to day. I wanna tell her that I love her a lot, but I gotta get a belly full of wine. Her
Majesty's a pretty nice girl. Someday I'm gonna make her mine. Oh yeah, someday I'm gonna make her mine.
October the 2nd, Abbey Road engineers mixed the Beatles' Across the Universe for a charity album later released December the 12th.
Words are flowing out like endless rain into a paper cup. They slither wildly as they slip away across the universe. Pools of sorrow, waves of joy are drifting through my opened mind, possessing and caressing me.
October 9th, John Lennon turns 29.
Nothing's gonna change my world. Nothing's gonna change my world.
October 12th, a Detroit disc jockey broadcasts rumors that Paul McCartney is dead, pointing to multiple hidden clues on Beatle albums.
These allegorical lines lead into the selection which convinces many people the Paul is Dead rumor to be something more than just a series of coincidences. The track is Revolution Number 9. Listen again.
Number 9.
When one plays this phrase backwards, the voice says something entirely different.
Turn me on, Deadman.
Turn me on, Deadman.
The rumors persist throughout the fall, despite denials by the Beatles and Paul appearing on the cover of Life magazine in November. Beatle album sales soar.
Pack up all my cares and woe. Here I go, singing low. Bye, bye, Blackbird.
October the 27th. Ringo records tracks for a solo album called Sentimental Journey.
Bye, bye, Blackbird.
Give me a chance.
Are you listening, Nixon?
November 15th in Washington, D.C. A march opposing the U.S. involvement in Vietnam attracts a 500,000 protesters. Most at one point join in the singing of John Lennon's Give Peace a Chance.
December 2nd, George Harrison joins the Delaney and Bonnie Tour.
Only you know and I know all the love we got to show.
Late in 1969, Alan Klein recruits producer Phil Spector to work with the tapes from the Get Back sessions in an attempt to salvage an album. The resulting album and film, Let It Be, would be released May the 8th, 1970. 3 weeks before, Paul McCartney publishes a self-written interview saying he's left the Beatles and doesn't expect to record with them again. The world knew then the Beatles were finished.
I mean, even if you, you know, get deeper into the history of, you know, Lennon is quitting and then George quits, but Ringo quits, but he comes back and Paul then quits. You know, they, obviously they were ambivalent about what they were doing. There was a sense in which, you know, something was going on, and, you know, it was not shocking to hear that the Beatles were breaking up. But its true meaning and its true impact didn't become apparent until later. You know, within a few years, there were very, very active efforts to try to get them to come back together again. And, you know, it was like a, you know, it was like an origins myth, you know. Can we get back to Eden? Can we reconstruct that? And, you know, of course, that never really happened.
Just as the Beatles made their times, I don't think they could withstand their times. They had a deep connection with the world outside them, whether they wanted to or not, and I think they clearly did not want to. But they both goaded the world and they reflected the world, and on a conscious level, they could not control all of that.
We have to give these guys room to be themselves and do what they want to do. And from the standpoint of being a, you know, middle-aged guy with all these years of experience, I look back on this and I go, well, of course the Beatles had to break up. They had been living together literally in the same room at first and in the same hotels and airplane cabins and limousines and dressing rooms all through that period of Beatlemania when it was impossible to hear themselves on stage and all these other things. And then they had done amazing amounts of work together in the studio where these phenomenal works of genius had emerged. It had to stop. They couldn't possibly have continued. They grew as individuals. They started families. They began to live separately. The Beatles had to break up. It would not have been a good thing for them to continue. They could not have sustained that level of creativity any further.
In a sense, the Beatles were well served by the arc of their career. Because it's very comprehensible to people. You know, you don't have to be some Beatles expert to really get a lot of what the Beatles did, because there's a coherent body of work that, you know, doesn't span decades. It, you know, it spans a comprehensible period of time. It has very discernible periods within it. And all you have to do is be interested and listen to the stuff, and you can grapple with it, you know. Apart from the great quality of what the Beatles did, the kind of elegance of the arc of their career is something that has held them in good stead. And if they'd done 40 reunion tours, you know, it might not really have served them nearly as well.
With the mature eyes that I look at it now, it seems a perfectly reasonable trajectory for them to have had. You know, they spent more than 10 years in extremely tight quarters, and they did the works of collective genius that will probably never be matched. And we have no freaking right to demand any more from them than we got, really.
So I'd like to say to the cast of this whole production,
can't
good night and thank you very much for having us.
Not
it's been wonderful working with you. Which way did John go? That way. Got it.
The Last Year in the Life of the Beatles, 1969, was produced by Paul Ingles at Cedar Creek Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico. To hear this program again online, visit prx.org. That's the Public Radio Exchange at prx.org, and sign up for a free listener account. There you can hear many other programs about the Beatles' history, as well as thousands more great programs and reports. For more about this program, you can visit us online too at paulingles.com. That's paulingles.com. For Harry Norton, I'm Paul Ingles. Thanks for listening.